Is God our creator or our father? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Didn't God create all human beings? And if God created all human beings, wouldn't that make God the father of all human beings? No, it makes God the creator of all human beings. God becomes our father not by creation, but by conception.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring profound yet practical messages from beloved pastor and Bible teacher Adrian Rogers. When Jesus teaches us how to pray, he begins with a specific instruction to call God Father. Think about that. Because we call him Father, we can find great comfort in knowing we have his care and his loving correction. What else can we expect when we address God as our loving Father? If you have a Bible handy, we'll be in Hebrews chapter 12 and come back to Matthew chapter 6. Once again, here's Pastor Adrian Rogers with When We Say Father.
If you're a child of God, God loves you too much to let you get by with sin. Sometimes people join the church, they get baptized, they continue to live in sin, and nothing ever happens. And they say, well, God surely must love me. God lets me get by with sin. God doesn't love you like he loves his own children. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Had you been his child, God would have carried you to the woodshed. You say, why doesn't God chastise me when I live in sin? Because you've never been saved. This passage in Hebrews 12 goes on to say, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You say, Pastor, that's strong language. What does that mean? Just simply means this. God is saying, if you were my child, I would have chastened you. But since I didn't chasten you, you're not truly my child. You may appear as my child, but I did not legitimately father you. You are not truly born into my family. I'm not your father. Somebody else is your father. If I were your father, I would have carried you to the woodshed. If you're without chastisement, it's just simply a sign that I never really fathered you. Now, if a mother goes to the front yard and there's some children out there in a fuss and in a squabble, that mother calls her own children in and she chastens them, or the father chastens them. But you don't whip and punish the neighbor's children. You better not in this day and age. You'll get in serious trouble. They're not yours. You chastise your own. And so it is with God the Father. Do you know the difference between how God deals with a child of God and a child of the devil? You see, God deals with his own children on a cash basis, and God deals with the devil's children on a credit basis. God deals with us as a father. He deals with them as a judge. God deals with us now. God deals with them at the judgment. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 speaks of the unsaved, and it says like this, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up wrath against the day of wrath. That is, you're putting judgment in the bank. You're just treasuring it up against the day of wrath and the perdition of ungodly men. Romans 2, 5, one of these days, God says, I am going to deal with you not as a father. I'm going to deal with you as a judge at the final judgment. But now he deals with his children. He deals with them on credit. They're just putting it in the bank. But he deals with us day by day. As soon as you sin as a child of God, the Father steps in to chastise. I've said many times from this pulpit, when God saves you, he doesn't fix you up where you can't sin anymore. But he sure does fix you up where you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. Do you know the difference between cash and credit? I learned that as a youngster. I guess I was about 5. I went with my dad in West Palm Beach, Florida, to the community grocery store on Georgia Avenue up on the hill. My brother and I were in the store that day, and I saw something that astounded me. My dad went into that store and bought some groceries, and as he walked out, he said to the man behind the counter, charge it. I'd never heard that word, charge it. And that man wrote something down in a book, and my dad just waved and walked out. I thought, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Never heard that word before, charge it. I went again and I watched. My dad walked in there, bought some groceries, and said to that man who knew my dad very well, charge it. My dad didn't even sign his name. That's the kind of business they had in those days. I said, uh-huh. I told my brother, I said, I think we have something here wonderful. We have discovered a very special word. So we thought we'd give it a trial run. We put some money in our pocket just in case it did not work and bought some soft drinks. Stayed around the store for a while, and on our way out, we looked to the man and we said, "Charge it." He nodded his head and we walked out. We thought we'd found the key to Fort Knox. And for about 2 weeks, we would visit the community grocery store and buy what we'd want, walk out and say the all magic word, "Charge it." But one day my dad called us in. He had some things in front of him. And right there, in a very special way, I learned two things. I learned, number one, the difference between cash and credit. And I learned this: whom the Father loves, He chastens. I learned that right then. Now, friend, God loves us too much to let us get by with sin. Whom the Father loves, He chastens. And so when we say our Father, friend, we can expect His care. Indeed we can, and we can expect His correction. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you, and so forth. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, because He is Father. Not only can we expect that, but we can expect His companionship. Did you know He loves to be with us? What kind of a relationship is a father and son relationship? It is a wonderful relationship. Father and daughter relationship, it is a wonderful relationship. I'm called by many things. I have many names. I'm called Pastor. I am called Adrian. There's someone who calls me Honey. And there are those who call me Daddy. And some call me Papa. And I can just tell you, folks, that there are days when I get very, very busy and I'm pressed and I have certain deadlines. For example, I preach about 6 times a week at least. And when I get ready to preach, I mean, I've got to be ready to preach. It's like taking off an airplane. Pine trees are at the end of that runway. You better get off the ground. And it's time to preach, and I face a lot of deadlines. Sometimes the phone will ring. Now, I don't want to answer the phone, but I know I must. And I pick it up not knowing what I will face on the other end. And when I hear somebody say something like, "Hello, Daddy," friend, it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, then I want to answer that phone. If they say, "Papa," it makes a double difference. I want to talk, because these are mine. They're my children. And our Lord is speaking. And when we come to Him, we're not talking about the unmoved mover. We're not talking about the unknown absolute. We are talking about our dear Father. And the Bible says God has sent His Spirit into our hearts crying, "Abba, Father." Do you know what that means? Romans 8, "Abba, Father." That's an Aramaic diminutive. It means "Daddy, Father." Have you ever thought about God as a daddy? You say, "That's irreverent." No. As a matter of fact, when Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father," in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus spoke, scholars tell us, in the Aramaic. And so the word that Jesus would have used that is translated "Father" here is the word "Abba, Father." Now, today our children say "Dada" or "Dada." But in the Middle East, they say "Abba, Abba." That's just the most basic syllables that a child can lisp. And Jesus says that we can call the great God of the universe, "Abba, Father." "Daddy, Father." A father had his office at home. He was a bookkeeper. He was so proud of his ledgers, so proud of his journals, that every entry was just right. And he told the children, "Stay out of the office when Daddy is working." He was sitting there at his desk making an entry in his journal when his little 4-year-old boy burst into the room, ran across the room, gave a leap, jumped up into his daddy's arms while his dad was in that swivel chair. That pen went shoo, right across the page and made a black mark all the way across the page. The father threw his pen down, slammed the journal shut, and said, "Son, son, look what you've done. Didn't Daddy tell you to stay out of the office? Son, look what you've done. You messed up everything." The little boy just started to cry. He said, "Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." He said, "I just wanted to sit in your lap and hug you and rub your beard." That broke the daddy's heart. He picked the little boy up and said, "No, son, Daddy's sorry. I'm sorry I fussed at you. I'm so glad you wanted to see me." and gave that little boy a hug and left the office, and they went around to walk and talk about things that boys and dads ought to talk about. Friend, listen, I'm so glad that our Heavenly Father never gets so busy putting out the sun, moon, and the stars and running this universe and commanding the angels that He doesn't have time just to close His ledger and talk to you like there's no one else on earth and nothing else for Him to do. You can come to Him anytime, any day, and talk to Him and call Him Daddy. And I don't mean to be irreverent, but friend, you can jump up in His lap. Put your spiritual arms around His neck. You know what Corrie ten Boom said? She said, "Don't wrestle, nestle." I like that. He is a father. He is a father. And because of that, you have His companionship. But not only do you have His care, and not only His correction, and not only His companionship, but friend, you have His compassion. His compassion. The psalmist said, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." His compassions, they fail not. When our first child was born, I talked to my pastor at that time, and he said something to me I've never forgotten, and it is so true. He said, "Adrian, before you have children, you always think of the love that Jesus, the Son, had when He died for our sin. But after you have children of your own, you think of the great love that the Father had when He gave His Son." Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Fathers are compassionate. A true father would die for his children, gladly fling down his life for his children. And that's exactly what God the Father did in this great compassion. A man had a massive heart attack, was taken to the hospital, the emergency room. They came in and saw that the man was in critical condition. A nurse was there. He said, "Nurse, would you please do something for me?" He said, "I have no family except one daughter. She lives in this city." He said, "I have not seen her for a year. Would you please call this number and tell her that I am here in this hospital and I really want to see her?" The nurse said, "I'll do it." And she called the daughter. When the daughter heard what happened, she began to cry, and she said, "Oh, no. No, you cannot let him die." Said, "I have not seen my dad for almost a year. The last time I saw my daddy, we had a terrible argument. And I told my daddy I hated him. I don't really hate him. I didn't hate him then, but I was so full of pride. I was so hurt. Please don't let my daddy die. I'll be there in 30 minutes. I want to see my daddy alive. Please don't let him die. I'll be there in 30 minutes. But then code 99 was sounded, and that man's heart began to give its dying gasp. And all of the personnel came in and began to frantically work over him and to pound on him and to shock him and to do all of those things to get that heart beating again. But they were just pulling the sheet over him when the girl burst through the door. She was too late. And the nurse stood aside, and she'd been praying, "God, don't let him die till she gets here." And the nurse watched as the doctors were talking to this girl and as she put her face in her hands and began to weep. The last words she'd said to her daddy on this earth were, "I hate you." And now he's dead. The nurse, not knowing what to do, said, "Maybe God can use me." The nurse went and put her arms around this girl and let her cry for a while and said, "Would you like to go in where he is?" The girl said, "Yes." The girl said, "I never really hated him. I never really hated him. I was so full of pride. I loved him. I loved him." Went into the room. This girl just buried her face in the sheet and wept. And the nurse looked over there on the nightstand, and there was a note there on the nightstand. And the note said this, "Dear Susie, I want you to know that I love you and I forgive you. And I want you to forgive me. And Susie, I know you love me, Daddy. When I read that, I was so blessed. Because I thought, you know, no matter what happens, even an earthly father, even an earthly mother, they have a love that is stronger than any other love. And yet the Bible says, when my father and my mother cast me off, then will the Lord take me up. Oh, friend, His compassions, they fail not. What a loving heavenly Father. And if an earthly father loves his daughter that way, how much more does God, your Father, love you? And what do we do when we pray to God and say, our Father? Well, we express His nature. He is a Father. We expect His nurture. He is a Father who cares. He is a compassionate Father. He is a companionate Father. He, my dear friend, is a correcting Father. Think of your great God as a Father. Not only do we express His nature, and not only do we expect His nurture, but, oh friend, we exalt His name. Listen to what it says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name. When you pray this way, you exalt His name. Now, in order to do that, listen. First of all, you must know what the name is. What the name is, you must recognize the name. Hallowed be Thy name. Well, what name is that? What name is the name above all names that we hallow when we pray this way? Did you know that Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, said this to the Father, Father, I have manifested Your name. Did you know that in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says concerning Jesus, His name is wonderful? Did you know that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, I believe the Bible says that God has given Jesus Christ, are you ready for this? A name which is above all names, a name which is above every name. There is one name that is above every name. You know what it is? Jesus. Would you like to say it? Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. That, my friend, is the name above all names. God has given Him a name which is above every name. Jesus said, Father, I have manifested Your name. Now, you recognize the name and then you reverence the name. Hallowed be Thy name. You see, when we say that God is our Father, intimacy does not mean irreverence. Oh, we're to give Him praise and honor and glory and majesty as we've done this morning. Hallowed be Thy name. Never speak disrespectfully just because you can sit in His lap and put your arms around His neck spiritually. But not only do you recognize the name and reverence the name, oh, friend, rely upon the name. Jesus said in John chapter 14, hitherto have you asked nothing in My name, ask and ye shall receive. If you ask anything in My name I will do it. So wonderful. When we pray right on the front door of this prayer, we're to come in the name that is above every name, in the name of Jesus. And when we pray in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, when we hallow that name, when we recognize that name, when we worship that name, we have great power in prayer. Two boys graduated from high school. They had not seen each other for a long, long time, and they met on the street. One of the boys was a respected lawyer in that city who had made a lot of money. The other boy had become a beggar, a tramp. They met unexpectedly. They recognized one another. The beggar and the tramp looked at the successful lawyer and said, it's wonderful what has happened to you. You went one way, I went another way. Look at me, I have nothing. They talked for a while, and the lawyer said to his friend, I hope it'll not embarrass you, and I hope you'll not think that I'm trying to patronize you, but I'd like to write you a check. I can do it. We're old friends. I would like to make a gift to you. here's a check. I want you to take it and buy some things that you might need. And the man took the check and looked at it. Oh, he said, that's a generous gift. You're a wonderful friend, but I don't know what to do with it. He said, well, carry it to the bank and cash it. Oh, he said, well, when I go into the bank looking like this, dressed in these rags, do you think they would give me any money? And the lawyer said, my friend, it's not the way you look that counts. It's my name on the check. And that's the way our Lord has taught us to pray. We don't bring our shabbiness to God. Oh, friend, when we pray in the name of Jesus. If you ask anything in my name I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't it a wonderful prayer that we can just begin with these words, our Father. We express His nature, we expect His nurture, we exalt His name when we pray that way. Is He your Father? Today He can be. Today you can step into the family of God. Today you can receive eternal life. Today you can become a partaker of the divine nature. If you would pray a prayer like this, oh God, I'm a sinner and I'm lost, and I need to be saved and I want to be saved. Jesus, you died to save me and you promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Save me, Jesus. Save me today. Begin now to make me what you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you've trusted Jesus with your heart and life today, we want to celebrate with you and offer an insightful resource on our website, the Discover Jesus page. You'll find answers there to many of your questions, as well as a response section where you can share your testimony with us or how this message has impacted you. You can leave a prayer request, too. Just go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Discover Jesus. Welcome to the family of God. We can't wait to hear from you today. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message on CD, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD to order When We Say Father. You'll receive the entire lesson on your single CD. This message is also part of the powerful series, The School of Prayer. For the complete collection, all five insightful messages, go to the website lwf.org/radio or call to order at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Thanks for joining us in our study of God's Word today. Remember, when you pray today, call Him Father. Express His nature. Expect His nurture and exalt His name. And be sure to join us next time for more from Adrian Rogers right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener reached out recently on Facebook and left some encouraging words for us. She said, "Thank you for preaching the awesome, truthful Word of God. Adrian Rogers was a great pastor, simple to understand." Thank you for those words, and thank you for your support of this ministry. We are so honored to present profound truth simply stated by Adrian Rogers, and we can only do that because of your generous support. This month, as a thank you for your gift, we want to send you our Journey of Faith booklet collection, featuring powerful studies from Adrian Rogers, including All Things New and Authentic Christianity. This collection will help you experience the authenticity of living with Jesus. Request the bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD or give online at lwf.org/radio. And again, thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.